Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
All right, we're going to flip it to, well, Calvin Ridley came from the NFC South. We'll stay there in the NFC South, and we'll talk about the Saints here. Obviously, the big storyline for them is the fact that they signed Derek Carr. A no-trade clause again for Derek Carr. Good for him. Good for him. No-trade clause again. It's amazing. You know, Derek Carr. And, you know, I don't mean to, you know, I'm not trying to bag on Carr or anything, but it's like, it's not like he's an elite player, you know, but he's certainly gotten elite treatment with his contracts, which I think has been good for him. Good for him to finesse that, man. 4 years, 150, more like a two or three year deal for the Saints. But I think a very reasonable deal for the Saints. I think it's a good deal for Derek Carr. But again, that no trade clause again, man, he gets to basically dictate where he goes at the end of this contract if he decides to do that again. Anyways,
how'd you feel about the Saints? Like, how'd you feel though about just on the Carr thing? You know, because I know we've talked about it before on the show, like, you know, the NFC South and all. I think we both really liked Carr as a fit here. And, yes. You know, some people have feelings about this is a bad team building move. Like, the Saints need to start over, they need to rebuild. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you really going to blow this entire thing up? Like, and like, they've been kicking this roster. They've been kicking the can down the road on this roster for so long, maxing out their credit card bills for so long. Their tax guy gets their papers here in a couple weeks, and it's a nightmare. The tax forms for the New Orleans Saints. Like, are you really just going to, it's over. Like, you traded up for Chris Olave, and now you're just going to stop trying, you know? Like, I think it was an imperfect solution. It was kind of a perfect solution for an imperfect team, basically, because Carr is going to give you definitely top 15 quarterback play, and he's easily the best quarterback in the division. I don't know. What did you feel about their decision to actually just go ahead and make this move?
Well, they can still win the division. I mean, the division's so weak. They can just go out there and win the division. So again, I think it's a good move for them. They have an aging roster. I don't even think they've got pieces to move unless it's on the defensive side of the football or on the offensive line, which I don't think they want to do. Right. So they could move some pieces on the defensive side. Cam Jordan, I think, obviously would garner a lot of interest. But again, it's an aging offensive roster. I mean, even guys like Alvin Kamara, first of all, what's his status? Offensively,
we don't know.
Maybe a suspension might be coming. I don't know, right? But even he is, I hate to say, because I think he's like, 28 years old or whatever. But he's certainly, you know, he's like in his prime, like right now. But
didn't have a very good year last year.
He didn't have a great year last year. But I think that's the offensive play calling for me. I'm not sure why Alvin Kamara, you're trying to jam him inside and have him be a between the tackles runner. To me, that doesn't matter. Why are you not throwing the ball to one of the
David
best pass
Johnson
catching
on passing downs?
Like, why are we doing this, Saints? I don't know. He's literally one of your best offensive players. You're putting him in a position where he cannot succeed. So I don't understand. Anyways, neither here nor there, but he's got, you know, let's say he's got 2 years left as a prime time player. Okay. Well, that lines up with Derek Carr. does it not? Again, Jarvis Landry is there. Michael Thomas is there, who we'll get to in just a moment. But they also have an emerging superstar in Chris Olave. I think they're maybe a couple offensive, maybe one offensive lineman away from really securing that offense. And actually, to be honest with you, Matt, I actually think if Derek Carr is a top 15 to top 12 quarterback, this team's not that far away offensively from actually being, I don't want to say a championship team, because they're not there. They're not, they're just not there, but certainly an interesting team, a playoff team. And again, not just because they're playing in the NFC South, but like a legitimate NFC playoff team.
Well, you just look across the NFC. Like, I think Rodgers is probably not playing for Green Bay this year. Just the amount of quarterback questions in the NFC. I don't mind these teams like the Giants or the Saints saying like, hey, let's try to just push this in the next 2 years. Like, we'll pay. Normally I don't love paying for competency at quarterback, but these two, these two teams have done, and the Seahawks too with Geno Smith. Although I think Geno was better than both of those guys last year,
for sure.
Especially early on in the season. Like, let's just pay for competency, try to build up the rest of the roster and just go for it. Like, because the NFC is so watered down right now. I kind of can understand that calculus at this point. And with Carr specifically, like, I know that there are some people, especially, you know, stat dorks and fantasy heads, and will immediately point to like, well, but look at Andy Dalton and all of these metrics last year. He played really well. He was like a PFF grade darling. You know, he was really good in a bunch of he was really good at a bunch of advanced metrics. I would counter that by saying, one, watch probably because he was throwing to it. Well, yeah, for obviously,
first of all, watch the games, dude. Right.
Yeah. First of all, he was, we'll talk about it here in a second, but he was throwing to a guy who was almost always open in Chris Olave. We'll talk about him in a second. And number two, that probably helps your PFF grade and all that stuff. And two, if Andy Dalton was quarterback 25 in any of those metrics next year, would you be surprised at all? No, I think with Derek Carr, you're paying for like a little bit more certainty than Andy Dalton on the back nine of his career. There's a familiarity there with the head coach. So yeah, Andy Dalton was good. Like, that's why because Andy Dalton was good last year, functional last year, I should say.
Yeah. I was like, hey, let's slow a roll. Let's slow a roll and good.
He was, I mean, remember our late great friend Chris Wessling always had the Dalton scale. I think he was perfectly Dalton scale last year. He was the prime meridian of NFL quarterbacks last year was Andy Dalton. So because that's why I'm not going to go out and say like, oh, this is a massive upgrade for like fantasy for like Chris Olave. But again, it's just paying for certainty, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right in that Andy Dalton at any point could just fall apart. You know what I mean? Especially with his age right now. But okay, let's get right into it. Chris Olave, I feel like having read a lot of your stuff before, this is a player that you are extremely, extremely excited about. Am I correct in saying that?
Love this guy.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. And you know, this is a player that in last year's draft class, reception perception really showed that he was a dude, that he was a guy, he was a dog, right? Like, he was someone that I think, you know, in different circles was doubted a little bit because he was teammates with Garrett Wilson. He was teammates with Jackson Smith and Jigba. He was he was a dreaded, you know, he wasn't an early declare. That's a big red flag and stuff like that. But you just watched him play, and this was reflected in reception perception. He was a stone cold stud. I mean, a route runner that you just don't see at the college level. So advanced, such a good technician, and could also lift the lid. Like, he could take the top off a defense too. And all of that translated immediately. I mean, again, for people that are new to the website, even old subscribers too, this is a new thing I'm doing this year that, like, because this free agent class is so boring and like, I'm not trying to say, hey, we just dropped a bunch of content. Here's a, you know, check out Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman, Darius Slayton. It's like, okay, well, if a quarterback change happens like this Carr thing, let's throw up the Chris Olave profile. So it's up on the site right now and it's awesome. I mean, he's a guy that wins at all three levels of the field. I mean, just an incredible rookie season. We know that 75.8% success rate versus man coverage, 77.5% success rate versus press. That's, you know, that's stud level stuff. That's the stuff that, like, when you see guys being you know, over that 80th percentile in both of the, you know, success rate versus press and success rate versus man, and also can beat zone coverage at an above 80% rate. You know, those are your Terry McLaurin types. Those are your, obviously he, if he continues to grow, he could be like a Stephon Diggs type. That was a player I comped him to based on reception perception. I love this guy, dude. He's so good. I still feel like he's a little bit underrated just in terms of, how good he is. You know, he didn't really get
Dude.
Don't you think? I'm not being crazy, am I?
No. You're 100% right. We actually talked about this on the show a little bit because he's so good. He's so productive right out the gates. And it's like we didn't see a lot of headlines regarding Chris Olave. And my theory is that we just didn't see a lot of – well, first of all, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns, right? So, like, that's one.
Yeah.
And so, and the other one is what is like that signature catch that Olave had? I don't think he had a lot of those. Oh, wow. Moments, you know, like George Pickens is on the literal opposite end of the spectrum. You know, it's like,
didn't
make a lot of plays, but when he made plays, like half of them were like, oh my God, like, geez, what a catch. From Pickens, right? And I think Olave fits more into that, just like, dude, the guy's just so open. He doesn't have to make those catches, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
And I think that kind of sort of, you're right, like, why didn't he get more love for, like, you know, AP Rookie of the Year or whatever it was? He probably should have, right? So, like, he was so productive, for God's sakes. I mean, the dude had over 1,000 yards as a rookie. Come on, dude. Like, the guy was amazing. Yeah. He was great.
And he was pretty consistent throughout the entire season too. And again, we're talking about him, I think, elevating Andy Dalton to be like PFF's sixth best quarterback or whatever it is. So right. I think Andy Dalton owes a lot of that PFF cred to Chris Olave always being open. Another thing I think people don't appreciate about Olave, and they're right about this, is, you know, he's got a lot of flack for not being a yak receiver in college. He's not a yak receiver in the pros. And you're right. Those are the type of plays, not even just catches, but like, you know, Deebo Samuel gets a slant and houses it for 57 yards and people,
Jalen,
you
know, Waddle,
go crazy, right? And I get it, because that stuff's super impressive and that's part of playing wide receiver. Chris Olave was brought down on first contact on 82.4% of his in-space attempts in reception perception. That is not his game. But look at his route tree. He ran a slant. This is, by the way, bonkers stuff. He ran a slant on 7.4% of his routes in reception perception. And he's still getting open at that insane rate. He's not running these little Mickey Mouse routes and then like, oh, let me break two tackles to get 14 yards. He's running a dig route, getting wide ass open. He's got 14 yards at the catch point. So it's different styles of wide receivers. Again, like, what's more impressive, the guy catches a little Mickey Mouse route and breaks two tackles and runs for 14 yards, or the guy has, you know, pristine, perfect technique, beats press coverage, man coverage, zone coverage, whatever it is, runs the dig route and catches 14 or an out route, 14 yards right there. The quarterback has a wide open window to throw it. I would argue that there are just two ways to do it, but that technique is so impressive, and that's what makes Olave a great player. And I think, you know, the throws that Derek Carr and Davante Adams were so in sync on last year. You know, Adams had his highest yards per catch of his entire career last year with Carr. Those dig routes, those out routes, those intermediate routes, I think that's going to be a big, big part of this connection going forward.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right, so to your point, nearly 40% of his routes were corner nine or post, right? So we're talking about going long.
Wild.
That is, in today's NFL, when you're talking about number one wide receiver, that is pretty nuts. You know what I mean? Like, that's more reserved for, like, specialty dudes, you know, like specialty over-the-top mm-hmm. guys. But that's not what Olave was. Like, Olave's, yeah. like, a legitimate number one running, yeah, you guys know, 37% over-the-top.
Guys that do that then don't have like a 75% success rate versus man coverage. That
right.
I don't know that a lot of guys in RP history have route trees like this, but I would venture to, if I went back and looked, like, guys that are running 40% downfield routes, I would venture that he's probably the only one that has a success rate this high.
Wow.
That's just
wow.
bonkers stuff.
Yeah, it's craziness to me. Okay, so you bring up the Stephon Diggs comp. Also, when you look at his route tree, by the way, to see his full route tree, obviously go to the website, receptionperception.com. But to see his full route tree, it's almost all green. Matt, again, I've gone through a lot of your stuff. Can you remember a rookie that was like this? Like, he has been crazy successful almost an entirely green route tree as a rookie. There are not that many examples of this through the hundreds of guys that you've charted.
Yeah, I'd have to maybe go back to like Odell Beckham's rookie year. You know, that obviously was in 2014. That is long before I wasn't even doing color coded charts back in reception 2014. So I'd maybe have to go back to that. That's definitely a contender for maybe a full green rookie route tree, because he literally Beckham still has the third best success rate versus man coverage score in reception perception history from that rookie year. Number wow. one, he still holds, which is just insane. It's insane. Crazy. He still holds the record for success rate versus press coverage from that rookie year. You know, that might be the closest one. Justin Jefferson's rookie year, I'd have
right.
to look at that one, but that actually is probably the closest. Yeah. I'm going and looking at it right now. Justin Jefferson's 2020 profile on our website, receptionperception.com. He's got two red routes, out route, flat route, just struggling turning left, I guess. But Justin Jefferson, I think.
Okay.
Although, you know, I can obviously run an out route from the other side of the field. I get it. I'm just making a joke there. But that was probably the closest one in terms of a rookie season that's comparable. His success rates are better. His success rate versus press is higher, 96th percentile for Justin Jefferson's success rate versus press there. But yeah, that's probably the closest one, like, to an all green route tree that we've got there. It'd be Olave and Jefferson in terms of, like, recent RP history.
The reason that's so impressive and the reason I bring it up, it's that most receivers that we talk about, they have roles, right? They have certain tools, they have certain skills, they have certain physical attributes that allow them to do well in certain roles. It's very rare to see a player do well everywhere. Those are the kind of players that are what we would call special players. Chris Olave, mm-hmm. as a rookie, showing me green almost everywhere, again, right out the jump. I don't know, man. There is something interesting about that. And I know you're excited about it, but I'm certainly interested to see what year two will bring for Chris Olave. Can we flip it to the other side? Now, a player that is well beyond his rookie year and well beyond his prime of his career, it's his running mate, Michael Thomas. Just a three-game sample here in 2022. But boy, it's not looking great for the once great Michael Thomas.
Funny, Michael Thomas, you know, he was a guy that we did an in-season tracking profile on this year.
Yeah.
And so when I was like, you know what, he might get cut, I'll probably put a profile up on him just in case he gets cut and added to this free agent group. I was like, all right, well, I got three games from 2022. How many do more? Don't need to add anymore. That's it.
He's done. He's done.
He's done. He's done at three games. So
hold on.
Yeah. To be fair, three games is such a small sample. You know, normal perception samples are eight games. I mentioned, like, let's have a caveat for Calvin Ridley earlier in the show on five games. Three is nothing, but in those three games, I definitely think we saw a declining player. Like, to be fair for Michael Thomas, like I just mentioned, Odell Beckham was up there in the third best success rate versus man coverage score of all time. Number two is actually Michael Thomas in 2018, the year prior to his record breaking campaign. You know, this is a guy like 89%. He was sixth best in success rate versus zone coverage all time. Like, this was one of the best separators that we've seen play recently. 2022, a year and a half basically away from football, a full year away. 2020 was even an injury wrecked season,
right?
Not so much. Now he's like 34th percentile success rate versus man, 17th percentile success rate versus zone. Still pretty good press coverage scores, and he was running like more downfield routes, only 15.5% slant route rate in 2022. Hmm. But still could get open on those slant routes, the flat routes. But yeah, pretty much anything in that like intermediate area, he was really just more of a contested catch threat, which is, he was a really great contested catch receiver. He saw a contested target on 39% of his looks from weeks one to three and caught 88.9% of those targets. So
that's wild.
That's wild.
That is so good.
And remember like him in the first 3 weeks of the season, winning with Jameis Winston on like red zone plays, in those like scoring areas. He was good in that area. So I think for Michael Thomas, I'm not ready to say he's like totally cooked. Although, again, he was hurt again last year. Who knows? I think if the Saints keep him around, it will be because they want him as a complimentary player, a guy to win in the red zone, a guy to almost be sort of like what people thought Michael Thomas was going to be coming into the pro game. Short routes, slant, flat, contested plays, maybe some more big slot stuff. Because really right now they have Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, who I liked the flashes from Shaheed in his reception perception sample. Same. But those are small guys. Olave's skinny. Shaheed's tiny. Thomas would, I think, give them a little more size if they decided to keep him around.
I'm so interested in Shaheed, man. I watch this guy play. He just makes plays, dude. I like this dude. You know, and you talk about the route running ability of Michael Thomas as well. Obviously, did not flash that in 2022. By the way, the guy's only played 10 games amassed over his last three seasons combined. He played seven games in 2020, missed all of 2021, and then played three games in 2022. So, look, obviously, injuries have sapped him. But the knowledge up top, the knowledge in his brain, that I think he could impart on some of these younger guys too. I don't know if he's that kind of teammate. I don't know if he is or not, but if he is, certainly he could impart some knowledge on some of these younger dudes too. And boy, that would be really helpful, I think, for some of these younger up and coming wide receivers they've got in Saints uniforms for sure. Listen, there's a full on data drop on receptionperception.com. I want you to go check it out. There's a ton of players that have been updated and uploaded to the site. By the way, we are very close. We're inching our way towards a total site redesign. And it's kind of sort of, we're soft launching that pretty soon here. I want to say in the next week or two, we should hopefully see some movement there, but that's pretty exciting stuff, obviously. But again, we hit on some guys here, but listen, there is a bunch more on the website, and we're going to be getting into that in next week's podcast as well, where Matt, I would imagine, is also going to have some combine takes and some of these incoming rookie dudes. We'll have some data on them as well, and we'll pick, of course, Matt's brain on all those guys. Can they run a little bit faster for me, though? That would be nice.
Sure you were just like, this is like, your worst combine ever.
These guys are slow. The running backs are running faster than these wide receivers, man. Like, what's going on here? I don't get it.
Jackson Smith and Jigba just like, I'm not running a 40. No thanks, James Coe. So, yeah.
How am I supposed to base my takes on a non-40 wide receiver? Like, what's happening? I can't do it. But no,
we have a website for that.
We do have a website for that, by the way. Receptionperception.com. But, yeah, we're going to get into some of those combine takes, get into, obviously, news of the day, and some more of these guys that we've charted as well on next week's episode. But if you guys would like and subscribe to the show, that would be very much appreciated. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. See you.